All right, so it's time for us to do some labs. We're going to work on our fragment lab a little bit here. I'm looking at approach two. Any major problems? Were you able to get through the lab pretty well? Yeah? No? All right, well, we'll do it together. If you have questions, stop me. We'll talk about it. All right, let's look at the first two related fragments. Now, I'm going to stay over in TCP dump for now. I might switch over to Wireshark. We'll see what happens. Let's see. Fragment is the name of the file, dash N. Let's throw a dash X on that. And it says the first two, I'm going to hope that the first, oh man, that's already bad. Yeah, there's too much content here. Okay. I guess this is a job for Wireshark. Fragment. All right. I'm going to hope that these first two packets are the two packets that are related, that are fragments. Let's see. We can find that out. What would be true if there are two packets that are related fragment? What kinds of things would be true about those? Their IDs would be the same. Excellent. That's the big one. I would also expect the source and destination to be the same, stuff like that, same protocol. Now, I might also expect to find things about the offsets and stuff like that, but the big keys are really those IDs and the IP addresses. I see the IP addresses are the same. That's all looking good. Let's look inside of the IP header here. I see that these are, well, it's marked as more fragment, fine. 12345 appears to be the ID number. Let's take a look at the next one. 12345. I think those two guys are related. Let's see, are they the same embedded protocol? ICMP, ICMP. So yes, I think these two guys are related. What's the question? They are the only ones sent with this pair of fragments. What do you think happens when they are sent? Well, let's take a look at them. Our first one here, it's a 20-byte IP header. It's got 1,500 bytes total inside of it. ID number 12345. More fragments is set with an offset of 0. Time to live 64. Don't care. Header checksum is fine. Okay, there's nothing weird there. There are more fragments coming. We've got 1,500 bytes here. Let's see what our next one is. Our next one is at fragment offset 1480. That makes sense. So the previous packet, we had 1,500 bytes, 20-byte header, blah, blah, blah. Okay, 1,480. We look like we're okay here. 1,500 bytes inside of it, no problem. More fragments is set. Okay. Well, are there more fragments related to this? Oh. This fragment is not related. How can I that quickly say this fragment is not related to those two? My eyes are looking right here. The ID is different. It doesn't matter that they're the same hosts. This is a different puzzle piece. Or this puzzle piece is out of a different puzzle. So that can't be. Let's just see. Is there, how about this guy? No. No. And I'm just looking at that ID field. I don't see anybody else who has that ID in there. I'm not going to, well, actually, I'm at the end of the packet capture. So that would tell me that these are the only two fragments, which I think Judy said, but I didn't trust her. They're the only two fragments here. So I've got a first fragment, followed by an intermediate fragment, or a middle fragment. What don't I have? I don't have a last fragment. Okay, so these packets will be sent, and I'll assume they're going to get received on the other end. What will eventually happen? I should get a fragment reassembly time exceeded, because we don't have a last fragment. That's it. The next question is, do I see a record in the PCAP reflecting the error condition that this created? Now, if that were true, I would expect to find a packet coming from 11.1 going to 11.65, and it would be an ICMP fragment reassembly time exceeded. Let's just see. I see there's an ICMP message here. It's going the wrong way. Scroll down. Oh, here's an 11.1 to 11.65. That appears to be what we're looking for. Inside of it, we've got an ICMP message. Let's look at that ICMP message. The ICMP message says, time to live exceeded, fragment reassembly time exceeded. So that is what we're looking for. That's fragment reassembly exceeded. Is that from our packet? We can answer that question because of this. In fact, this right here shows you why the original header is embedded in the error message. Why must the original header be there? What's that? And in this specific case, it's so I can look at the ID and see what fragment didn't get there. That's exactly right. But in a larger sense, because if you're going to report an error to me that something failed, I need to know what I originally sent that failed. It's like getting a mail delivery failure that says, hey, one of your emails failed to get delivered. Which one? So what does it send you? Here's the original. What if it didn't send the original email? Hey, I just want to let you know, one of your emails didn't get through. Yeah, which one? So the original message has got to be there. Is this the right packet? Yes, there is. Oh, I am so glad you asked that. So when we start going through filtering, you just look over at him and say, thank you. Thank you for this pain we are now suffering. Because, yes, we're going to do that this morning. All right, so is this error message related to those fragments? Yes, it is, because 12345, there's the ID number. That is the error message. Do you see a record? If so, what record is that number? 14. Why didn't records 3 and 4 generate the same message? Let's look at packets 3 and 4. Here we are. We've got a fragment here. It's marked as more fragments. It's offset 1480. 5958 is its ID number. Our next packet is also 5958. It is, well, let's see. Oh, the flags, the more fragments is turned off, and it's at offset 2960. So which fragment is that claiming to be? Last one. Non-zero offset, more fragments is turned off. This is a last fragment. So I have a, which fragment is this? Non-zero offset, more fragments is turned on. Middle, intermediate fragment. So I have a middle and I have a last. What don't I have? I don't have a first. Why doesn't that generate an error message? No, go ahead. It does start the timer. It does start the timer, and the timer will expire, but there's no error message because what absolutely must the error message contain? The original header. What don't we have? We do not have the embedded protocol header because where is it? Only in the first fragment. So if you do not get the first fragment, you will not generate an error message. Groovy? Excellent. The fragment and packet in record 5 has IP options. Ah, okay, exciting. Let's see what's happening here. Will the first fragment only or all its fragments retain the IP option? All right, let's look at this guy. I'm going to scroll down here. Options. The option it has is an option called loose source route. Loose source routing is used to control the path the packet will take. I can choose how things are routed. There are two ways to decide whether or not this will be included in all of the fragments or not. If I break open the option inside of Wireshark, it actually highlights for me that the very top bit, the most significant bit in the byte for that option, is used to indicate whether or not this is fragmentable. And it's not. Copy on fragment. In other words, not fragmentable. This option is not fragmentable. This must be included on all of the fragments too. I could use the technical means of checking to see if that bit is on. The value I think in there is 83, so it is on. I can see it's on. It's an 8. The less technical way, if the option impacts routing, it must be included in every fragment, which is actually the same approach that we take to the IPv6 stuff with the next header, with the extension headers. Is it a fragmentable header or not? Does it impact the routing of the packet? If it does, it is not fragmentable. It is really the same thing. The test is the same. It's actually what's going on in the topmost bits. You can approach the problem in either way. So in this case, we would say, well, what was my question? Will the first fragment or all its fragments contain the options? All of them will contain the option. It says you must copy this on fragments. How do you know by looking at the IFP options that this will transpire? Well, because it says so. The format for all option codes other than is an up is a one-byte option code. Verify your answer. Okay. All right. I don't think we really need to go further, but we can. We can look at the next one here. And looking inside of this one, it's apparently a related fragment. Let's see if that's true. If that were true, I would expect to find the same ID number. There it is. ID number one. ID number one. Yep. These are related fragments. And I would also see the source routing is still enabled. And I do. So it will copy that into all of the fragments. That will obviously have an impact on how much data payload each one can have, because we're choosing or stealing a little data out of that. So our fragments will not be like full fragments anymore, because we're stealing some data. Exercise three. What makes you believe that the set of fragments found in records 8 through 13, all with ID 31026, have been crafted? Oh, goody. There are five traits. Let's see. Let's see if we can find five or more traits. All right, so have been crafted. 31026. Let's see what we got here. I'm looking at 31026. How much payload is on these? Oh, there's not a lot of payload. Not a lot of payload. Would you guys mind if I used TCP dump for this? Because I personally find the hex reading a lot easier in TCP dump, and I don't want Wireshark telling me what's going on there. I want to look for ourselves. So let's challenge ourselves. Let's see what's going on here. TCP dump, and I want 13 packets. I don't care, the first couple are kind of big. And let's see. So if this is 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. So we should be starting right around here, I think. We'll see if I'm off on that one. Signs of crafting. Let's first make sure that these are all related pieces. The things that will tell me that is what's going on in the IP addresses. I can see just reading here the addresses here, 1165, 111, 1165, 111, 1165. These are all the same addresses. But I would also want to look at the ID number. Now help me out. In looking at this hex, can you please assist me in figuring out where the ID is? So that 4 is what? Version number. The 5 is? 20-byte header. The 00 is the type of service. Fantastic. Following that, we've got the total length of this packet. Following that, we have the thing we're looking for, the ID. That's the fragment ID. There's a way to remember that. Now, you do not need to memorize this. I'm going to tell you, we were talking about this a minute ago, this is like an immersion language class. So by the end of the week, I tell people in other classes, I tell them, people when they come to this class, when they leave, we can print out a packet in hex, blindfold you, you can run your fingers over it, and you will know what that packet means. So you will know this stuff at the end of the week. You're not even going to need the quick reference. But there's sort of a trick to remembering it, because I often forget this one. I'm like, what is that? It's this field here, which my highlight is a terrible color. This field here, the 20000. What is that field? The 2000. That's the fragment, flags, and the offset. The IP ID is used for what and what only? Fragmentation. All of the fragmentation stuff is all together in the header. It's all right next to each other. Does that make sense? So that 7932, if you're not sure, if you're looking like, oh, what is that? Looking at the next field, you immediately know what it is, because that's fragmentation stuff. 7932, the next packet, 7932, 7932, 7932. These are all the related fragments. All right, now we want signs of crafting. Let's see what we got here. Let's read through the header. So 7932, more fragments, zero offset. My size, I think my size, oh, that's much better, Dale. Thank you very much, wherever you are. He's invisible down there. Thank you. 1C. 1C. That would be 16 plus 12. How much is that? 16 plus 12? 28? Wow, that's awfully small. Is that sort of a sign? I mean, your very first fragment, you had to fragment that thing at 8 bytes? I don't know. That's pretty suspicious. So that's sort of a sign. What else we got going on here? So zero offset. We've got a TTL of 40 or 64. The next value of the 01 is what? That's ICMP. That's the embedded protocol header or value. Very, very good. The next field is checksum. That's the checksum. Who wants to calculate a checksum by hand? Yeah, okay. I don't either. Let's add a dash V onto this thing, and it will immediately tell us here. Oh, I might need a double V. Let's see what's going on there. Single V, double V. Well, I'm not getting an alert on the thing, so I'm guessing that the checksum must be okay. All right, so let's keep on moving. Then we have addresses. C0A8, 0B41, that's fine. B01, that's fine. Then we've got an ICMP header. All right, I've only found one trait so far. It had to do with the size of the fragments. Let's start looking at some of the other things happening here. Our next fragment, and we'll go easy on you. We'll use some of the stuff up here. This next piece goes at offset 8, and flags are none. Offset 8. Let's look down in here. So there's the 7932. That's the frag ID. And then we have, more fragments is cleared at offset 8. And we have another 28 bytes of data. Wow, that is strange. Does it seem odd to you that we had to fragment after 8 bytes of data, and then the second fragment only has another 8 bytes? I guess it lines up with our apparent MTU of 28 bytes, but I don't know. That's pretty suspicious. What's more suspicious, though, is my eyes have already gone down here. What does that plus sign mean? More fragments. And you can verify that. Look at that. 2002. So more fragments is enabled at offset 16. Why is that a sign of crafting? The answer is this packet. Because what did the second packet say? It said there's no more fragments coming. Do fragments have to arrive in order? No. But can you ever have a fragment that goes at offset 8, say, I'm the last fragment, and then another fragment arrives that says it's at offset 16 after that and says there's more? No, that does not make sense. Let's see if we've got any other weirdness happening here. This next one, where's this go? Offset 24. What's 16 plus 8? 24, so I guess that's okay. But then I have another one at offset 24. That's suspicious. And I'm looking down here. I'm over here. I'm looking at the payload of this thing. 41414141. I'm looking at the payload of the next one. And it's not four ones. That's suspicious. It's also interesting that these are all 28 bytes, but this next one, all of a sudden, we are able to carry more data in that packet. So not only is it different data, but it's larger data that seems to violate our mythical 28-byte MTU. Pair bracket stuff where I can put an offset. How long is a typical IP header? 20 bytes. If it has options, it's going to be 24 bytes or 28 bytes or 32 bytes. But Judy has gone easy on us. She said only look for ones where the first IP option. So that would mean that there is a header length. Well, let's see. We can start working some of this stuff out. IP.headerLength, I can do that, is going to be greater than 20. That tells me that there are options, right? And IP sub, where would the first option be? What offset would it be at? At the 20th byte. Offset 20. Remember, we start counting from 0, right? So 0 through 19 are the 20 bytes that make up the header, and then offset 20 is going to be the first option. IP sub 20 equal 0x83. And did I get too many? I don't know. Let's just see if we've got some options turned on in here. Let's see. I've got, loose source routing. That looks good. What have I got here? Header, checksum, options. Options. Loose source routing. I'm going to use the down arrow because I'm still highlighted in the packets. Loose source routing. Loose source routing. Loose source routing. Loose source routing. What's that?
Are there five displayed packets?
Yeah, I think there are. There are 5 displayed packets. Yep. I was just verifying they actually had the option. Yeah, I think that was it. So what do you think? Was that fairly straightforward?
I didn't really know how to compute
That's okay. And this was an extra credit question. Sometimes the extra credit questions, they're things we haven't yet talked about. This is about what we're about to get started on.
Did you see what happens if you don't check for greater than 20? Because I did that first.
Oh, I'll bet I get more stuff, don't I?
Oh, if you don't check,
there's a secret hint. This packet does not have source routing. Yeah. Yeah, Judy likes to play games with us, yeah. All right, excellent. Now,
did you feel like a
now our next section here, we are going to get into bit masking and really get into depth in using TCP dump filters. We're going to be using TCP dump to do it, but it's really not about TCP dump filters so much. It's about BPF filters. That's what our next section is going to cover.